You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. When you lead me, I will follow.
Here's today's message from Dr. Daryl Orman.
Our flowers are here today in honor of one of our great deacon ladies and families. Gary and Helen Porter went to be with the Lord in the past year, and we had Helen's memorial service yesterday, and we praise the Lord for them and their mark on the life of our church. I've got a giant praise to share with you this week. We have a godly family life of the church that challenged some of our members, and they raised $171,000 this week for our project. Can I hear a hallelujah?
Hallelujah?
Hallelujah. And so we would like you to also be a part of that. So in the lobby, there's some commitment cards, and if you'd like to bump that 171 up to 200, you could help us do that or more. And there's cards in the lobby, and so they've basically got several delineations on it. I'm giving a gift in the amount of, I'm making a commitment in the amount of, I'm making a monthly commitment, or I'm giving online. And then there's our QR code where you can flash it with your phone. It takes you, you hit the giving label, real easy to do. And we'd love for you, if you'd like to be a part of this with us and with some of our other families, just take one on the way out and pray over it as a couple or an individual, and turn those in for us, preferably with a check in it. You know, envelopes are to put something in, and so we want to encourage you to do that. This Tuesday, we've got our senior adult luncheon. Want to invite all of you to come. As you know, we'll be celebrating St. Patrick's Day. And by the way, here, a couple of questions. Number one, was St. Patrick Irish?
No,
he's English.
He was not. He was abducted as a child from basically the United Kingdom and carried over, then England. Okay, was he Catholic?
No.
He was not. He was an evangelical. And he actually personally baptized, they estimate, around 250,000 people, and started like 100 churches all over Ireland, and was a great witness for Christ, soul winner, loved Jesus. And so we're going to have a fine Irish boy, Tim O'Carroll, is going to be sharing with about St. Patrick Tuesday. So if you'd like to meet us over in the fellowship hall at noon, we would love for you to come and take part in that with us, and bring some of your fine Irish dishes. You know, bring we need some important things. We're going to be providing the corned beef and cabbage, and I guess probably a little bit of fried chicken, because how many of you don't eat corned beef and cabbage? Raise your hand. Okay, a handful. Well, you can come and we'll bring you 6 pieces of chicken. And you can eat chicken. But we'll have a great meal, a great time together, great fellowship. So I want to encourage you to take part in that with us as well. And then no events this Wednesday night for spring break. And inside, if you look inside our Heart publication, you see that we're promoting our musical for Palm Sunday, March 29th. And want to encourage you to invite people. Use this, take some extra ones with you in the lobby, and say, I'd like to invite you to come worship with me, you know, to celebrate up and coming Easter and be a part of this Palm Sunday worship time with us. And you'll enjoy that. And then we've got a rummage sale, a giant, massive rummage sale at the property next Saturday at 10 o'clock. And you can purchase a table for $25, load it with your valuable treasures out of your garage, and maybe get rid of them. And we've got a giant banner. Rick, let's give Rick a hand. He printed a big banner for us. And that's on the property. Put the tent up yesterday. And we're just going to have a great time out there next Saturday. If you want to be a vendor and get a table, it's open for all of us here. Please come by the office this week and register so we'll know how many tables we need and all that to set up. And then when the rummage sale is over, you are to take your extremely valuable items home with you, whatever's left. Don't leave them. Don't go stuff them in the house over there. Take them home with you, and they can be a further blessing to you in your future. Hopefully you'll sell everything, but we're going to have a great time fellowship. We'll have hot dogs and soft drinks and things like that available, and we are advertising it. They're saying around 60 to 69,000 vehicles pass the property every day. So they're seeing our banner this week every day, and we should do well. And then some of our folks are promoting it on Facebook and social media and getting that geometric progression. If you look on your Facebook and you see our promotion for the rummage sale, if you would send it to all your friends, that will just get a tremendous geometric progression going. And we'd love for you to help us do that. And then want to invite you, if you're our guest today, to just tear this off, fill it out, place it in the offering plate so we can get to know you better and help you be aware of things coming up in the life of our fellowship. Thank you.
All right, church. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that we're having here in Florida. And Lord, we just ask that you be with the pastor this morning as he leads us with a message today. Lord, we just ask that the Holy Spirit spread throughout the whole room today, and we have our hearts open to the message today. Lord, we thank you for these offerings, and we just, as we turn these back to you, as these offerings are yours anyhow. So again, thank you for each giver today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Avery, that was great. It was a joy hearing you, seeing you, watching you grow up, and you're beginning to look just like your mother, and that's a great credit. We thank you so much for sharing your gift with us this morning. We want to dismiss our children for Children's Church at this time. Get out my crowns here. So we've been talking about heaven. We've been talking about our accountability to God. And recently I was watching David Jeremiah, and he was talking about heaven and talking about his appetite to see tombstones and what are written on tombstones. And he found this one particular tombstone, and it said this: "Here lies the body of old man Pease, buried beneath the flowers and trees. But peas ain't here, just the pod. Peas shelled out and went to God. So he said that he shared that in a conference, and a lady came up who was the head of the missionary union at her church, and she said, I've heard that quote before, and I tried to use it with the missionary union, but she said, I got all confused. I got it all mixed up, and it got me in trouble. And he said, well, what happened? She said, well, here's what I said. Here lies the body of old man Peas, buried beneath the flowers and trees. But Peas ain't here, just the shell. And then she paused, because obviously, where was that going to go rhyming? You know, so we see that there's this idea in relationship to us leaving this life and going to be with the Lord in eternity. Now, when we go, the question comes up, are we going to be rewarded? You know, what kind of rewards? And we're going to look at that this morning, some of the rewards that God delineates in Scripture. There's at least five crowns described in the New Testament, and they're taught on quite a bit, preached on quite a bit, and we're going to walk our way through those. The Greek word for crown is Stephanos. Stephen is the name that comes from that, and as we know, Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned to death over the testimony of Christ, and as he was dying, he lifted his eyes up and saw Jesus on the right hand of God the Father on the throne, standing up, and he was going there, and actually, one of the crowns we're going to look at today, Stephen received that day and was able to lay it at the feet of Jesus. So we see this idea of Stephanos, and the term means, basically, it's a prize in the public games, a symbol of honor generally, and it's a badge of royalty. And so winners were awarded a crown of leaves woven together, and this crown represented a lot of things. For the winner, it could mean that he and his family were going to be fed the rest of their lives, that the town, the principality, municipality would take care of them and feed them the rest of their life. It also meant for many of them that they were going to be exempt from taxes the rest of their life. But again, in Scripture, it talks about these crowns are fading crowns. Once the victor died, no more food for the family, no more tax breaks for the family. And the crown itself, being woven of live plants, would fade, dry up, and basically break apart in not too much time. So we see this idea of crowns. Now, if you've got your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And here we see the first reference to our first crown we're going to look at, the incorruptible or the imperishable crown. In verse 24, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So here it talks about the idea of a disciplined life, a life that aligns itself with the purposes of God, the purposes of Christ. And in the picture, in the analogy of it, the Apostle Paul brings two athletic disciplines, two athletic trainings that occur. One is running, and the idea of running the race and preparing yourself. And then the other is boxing. I had the opportunity this week to watch some old videos of Mike Tyson fighting. And he had this one fight against a guy that literally was Hercules. He was a great big black English boxer. I mean, ripped. He was bigger than George Foreman. I mean, the guy was Hercules. And virtually everybody he fought, he knocked him out in the first round or two. Well, they expected that he was going to take Mike Tyson out in this fight because at that time, his wife Robin was divorcing him. He had just signed divorce papers just before the fight. Mike Tyson wasn't able to train for the fight like he normally did. He only had about 2 weeks of training, so he wasn't able to build all that discipline in. And this guy didn't mouth off a lot, the Hercules, but he did say, you know, I think I'm going to get him because he hasn't trained. He's going through this emotional time in his life. He's distracted, and I'm going to get him. But the discipline of Mike's entire life came into play. And in the first round, 7 seconds in, he hit Hercules with a right hook and almost knocked him out. And then the fight went on, and it went on for 12 rounds. The man gained his composure, and he was so big and powerful. But the idea in Scripture is that you and I are to discipline our lives. You and I are to train our lives to serve Christ. We are to add to. Now, there's a number of things we can do. I highly recommend, and Scripture advocates it, daily Bible reading. We don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And reading through the Bible. It's been one of my disciplines to read through the Bible with the one-year Bible. I've read through it every year for the past 35, 40 years, except for 2 or 3 years I wasn't able to complete. But I've read through the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, over 40 times. And I found that by reading daily, God speaks to me. He softens my spirit. The times when I fell behind and I didn't finish, those were 2 or 3 drier years in my life spiritually. And that's a discipline that we need to add to our lives. If you're seeking the incorruptible, the imperishable crown, and prayer, praying about everything. I want to encourage any of you, there's a number of seniors here, and if you wake up in the middle of the night, you've got a 3 o'clock, a 2 o'clock wake up, a 4 o'clock, I want to encourage you to pray during that time. And the more fervent you are in your prayers, the more quickly you're going to go back to sleep because the devil is going to put you to sleep. He doesn't want you praying. But we see this idea of disciplines in our life. One of them is giving. Very few people tithe. In fact, they say the evangelical church in America gives more money, uses more money for pet food for their pets than they do for missions to reach the world for Christ. And only about 7% of evangelicals are tithers that give 10% of their income to God. And we will be accountable for that. That is a discipline that God wants us to follow. And to say, I acknowledge you and accept you. I can't afford to give. Gas is $3.50 now a gallon. You know, God knows that. And God will provide. It's our way to trust him and say, I trust you. I trust you, you know, with what you've entrusted to me. So these disciplines in our life that we add these disciplines. And in this, the Apostle Paul said that he even buffets his body. So in the sense that he would actually keep his body under control. Hupoesthenia is the Greek word, and hupotasso is to stand under, to submit to place ourselves under a discipline. And we are to tell our body what to do. Our body's not to tell us what to do. In Matthew 6:19, the scriptures say this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And we see that he wants us in Scripture to have the discipline in our giving and in our life. And then we see also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that the Scriptures tell us this, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. The rewards that God lines up in our life when we have obeyed Him, when we've performed, when we've been controlled by His Spirit, these particular crowns, they once they're awarded, they're in our reservoir of life. They won't be taken away from us. And that's where Jesus said we're to place our treasures, where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves don't break in and steal. And so let's say, for example, that this particular crown is the imperishable crown. You've lived a disciplined life. You've lived for the Lord. And you get to heaven, and whoever, angels or whoever does it, they award you that crown. And you take that crown, and you say, I'm going to place it before the throne of God. I'm going to give it to Jesus. And so we'll let this chair represent the throne of God. And with the imperishable crown for a disciplined, obedient, godly Christian life, you will be given this. Now, you know and recognize we're not taking anything to heaven with us. So if we're going to give Jesus anything, He's going to have to first give it to us. And then when He gives it to us, we're going to be able to return it. Now, you may be covetous, and you may want to keep things. You may be looking at all the things in your house for the rummage sale and say, I can't part with any of these things. I've just got to have them. But and when we get to heaven in our new nature, we're going to say, thank God that I have something to return to Jesus. I lived those disciplines. I prayed. I read my Bible. I tithed. I served. I witnessed for Christ. And I lived those disciplines. And I'm receiving the imperishable crown. The next crown we see is the crown of rejoicing. And it's rewarded to soul winners who lead others to Christ. And we find this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. For who is our hope of joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming? For you are our glory and our joy. The crown of rejoicing is a crown for soul winners. It's a crown of praising God. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we see that the Lord Jesus wants to give us crowns for winning people to Christ. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, we see that he says that we will cast our crowns at Jesus' feet. So I believe that each time you and I win someone to Christ, that they give their life to the Lord Jesus, that they are a crown of rejoicing. They are a focus of joy in the Christian life, that they have accepted Christ and given their life to the Lord. I was eating at Flanagan's restaurant this week with one of our deacons, and we had the sweetest waitress. This girl, I mean, her voice, I said, your voice sounds like AI. It sounds doesn't even sound human. It was so sweet and perfectly modulated. And she said, oh, no, I'm a person. I'm not a robot, you know. And so at the end, I shared Christ with her, and I held my hand out like this. And it was so sweet, she placed both her little hands on top of my hand as she prayed to receive Christ. And she thanked us profusely for sharing Jesus with her and says she's going to come to church. And so if you're at Flanagan's, she's a little blonde girl, really sweet. You know, look for her, and if you have her, invite her to come. Say, I understand you've given your life to Christ. Come. But they are a point of joy. It's a point of joy when we lead someone to Jesus. This week also, I was on the phone with a credit card person, and I witnessed to her, and she prayed to receive Christ. She thanked me so much over the phone for sharing Jesus with her. And I believe each one of those on our trip, as I shared with you, to Greece and to Turkey, six people prayed to receive Christ. And I believe each of those could be crowns, and that they'll be given to us, and And we'll be able to gather those and we'll be able to say, Lord, this person is a crown of rejoicing. And I want to place that person before your throne. They'll stand there. In Scripture, it says, they that go forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Rejoicing, bringing the harvest in, gathering the harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time he impresses my heart to witness to someone, I think about, will anyone else witness to him? A guy I witnessed to that prayed to receive Christ last week, he told me, you're the first person to ever ask me about Jesus in my life, here in the United States. You're the first person that's ever asked me about that. And he prayed to receive Christ. I've got a great story to tell that I'm going to share with you next week in relationship to that. But when we think about leading people to Christ so they can go to heaven, there was a Sunday school teacher teaching a fifth grade class. And so she was talking to them about salvation and giving your life to Jesus and going to heaven. And as she was talking about it, she said, now class, she began to question them. And she said, now class, if I was to sell everything I own and give it to the poor, could I then go to heaven? And the class said, no. You know, as one person, they answered, no, these fifth graders. Then she said, well, what if I was to clean my house, mow the lawn, paint the house, maintain my stewardship and testimony all over the things that God has given me? Could I then go to heaven? And the class said, no, absolutely not. And then she said, well, what if I was to be kind to animals, to be friendly, to love my neighbors, and to be very close with my family and build relationships with them? Could I then go to heaven? And again, the third time, the class said no. And then finally, a new boy who was sitting in the back yelled out, you can't go to heaven till you die. And that was the answer. You know, you can't go to heaven till you die. But in Scripture, we see that God wants us, when we do go to heaven, he wants us to be rewarded. He wants us to be heavily rewarded. So we've got this crown of rejoicing that is awarded. Then number three, we see there's the crown of righteousness is awarded to those who love and anticipate Christ's return. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearance. As you're living each day, are you really thinking about the return of Christ? You better be. There has never been a time in our lifetime or the lifetime of several generations of our families in this country and this world that there's been such a conflagration of all of these events occurring that Scripture is very explicit about. Very explicit. Peace in the Middle East. Peace covenants being made with many nations. The advent of the gathering of information now where all of our information, everything about you is now held. Your metadata is held and it's known. Your smartphones, your cable televisions, your smart devices, everything around us is monitoring everything from our heartbeat to our preferences, to our blood pressure. Honestly, your phone knows more about you than any doctor you've ever had. And we say, oh, I don't want to be paranoid. Well, it's not paranoid. It's called being informed. And the idea now of the generation of AI, that there's avatars, and we were talking about this in our life group this morning, that you and I, all of us, can literally, with the proper software, the proper apps, you can take your phone or your iPad or your laptop, and you can make an avatar of yourself. Literally, it's an image that could answer your phone with your preferences, and people wouldn't know it's not you. Half of the images now, if you watch YouTube at all, or you watch Reels on Facebook or any of these other things, half of those images are not human people anymore. They're AI avatar images. It's a fact. Dig into it. You'll find out. And so we are now at this point of the imminent return of Christ. And he says, I want to give an award. I want to give a crown to everyone who is anticipating my return. Jesus, in several parables, commended the virgins that got ready. And he judged the ones who were negligent. He commended the workers who were faithful. He judged the worker who was not ready, the one who hid the money and didn't invest it, didn't put it in interest, didn't do anything with it, didn't use the talents, didn't serve Christ, live for themselves. And we need to right now really be evaluating. If you think of your average week, how much time of your average week is you time? Now, that can include work, hobbies, watching television, going to events, amusement, whatever, whatever, eating, all these other things. How much of your average week is Jesus time? For some, it might be only here for a couple of hours on Sunday morning, every other week, once a month. And we need to think about those anticipating the return of Christ, that we are living, and if you do, you will receive this crown. You will receive the crown of righteousness if you're doing that. And so you'll be given the crown. You anticipated my return. You lived like I was coming back. You served. You gave your life. And here's a crown of righteousness that you'll be able to place at the feet of Jesus, at his throne. And so we see this reference here. And then fourthly, there's the crown of life awarded to those who endure trials for Christ. It's also referred to as the martyr's crown. And this is found in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trials. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We see again this idea, the crown of life, if you've endured these trials, if you've gone through and persevered in these events. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the scriptures say, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then we see also in Scripture that it tells us in Revelation 2:10, another reference. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, this is the martyr's crown. This is a crown given to those who persevere under suffering, and many of them even to the point of death. A great book to read, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Both of our kids, Kim and I, Josh and Shay, both read those when they were young. And it's talking about the different ones that under unbelievable stress bore with their testimony. Some of them were burned at the stake. Some of them beheaded. Some of our own forefathers of the Baptist lineage through history, the Anabaptists, the Petribusians, the Catholics, and the Protestants drowned. They said, oh, you want to be baptized again, because they believed in infant baptism. They said, you want to be baptized again? We'll baptize you. They tied stones on them, took them out in a boat in the middle of the lake, and threw them in and drowned them. Every one of them received this crown, the crown of life, the martyr's crown. You and I are going to be going to heaven with people who gave everything for Christ. Missionaries, Muslim people that are living in Muslim nations trying to share Jesus, people in communist nations that have been suffered and tortured and murdered because of the testimony of Christ, those in the Roman Empire that went through everything. Some of them were sewed in leather bags and thrown into the middle of the arena for wild animals, jaguars and lions and wolves and dogs, to tear them up. Some of them were lit like torches for the night games there in Rome. All of these brothers and sisters in Christ are going to be in heaven. And you are going to be walking around them. And there may be some that could say, well, I couldn't go to church because the air conditioner went down and it was too hot that Sunday. Do you think they're going to have a lot of patience for that? You couldn't go to church because the air conditioner. What is an air conditioner? I was burned on a torch in the Roman arena. You know, think about that. Do think about that. And we see in Scripture that he talks about this crown, the martyr's crown, the crown of life that will be given for all of those who are willing to give the ultimate sacrifice. And they will be given this crown, this singular crown, and they will take it and lay it at the feet of Jesus. They say, Lord, you are worthy. You died that way. You were sacrificed for not only me, but all the sins of the earth were poured out on you. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And we'll see that. And then finally, the crown of glory is awarded to faithful shepherds, faithful pastors. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, these are the shepherds that preach the Word of God. They're honest. They're moral. They don't commit adultery. They don't steal money. They're generous. They serve. They witness. The faithful pastors, they're not trying to climb the ladder from church to church to church. They're serving Jesus. They're telling the truth. They're living for the Lord, which is the vast majority of pastors I know. And so we see in 1 Peter 5, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for money, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I hope and pray. I mean, this is what I'm striving for. I want to receive that crown. I would like to receive that crown of glory. And I'd like to be that type of shepherd. I want to be. I'm striving to be. And we see this is a shepherd's crown given to pastors for faithfully serving Christ, and they're able to take those and lay them before the Lord Jesus. I'm sure that Billy Graham got one of those, and he was able, when he got to heaven, to take his crown and lay it before the feet of Jesus. Beloved, there's five crowns referred to at least. There's a couple of others that most include these five that you and I can strive for in our life. You have the opportunity. You say, well, I'll never be wealthy in this life. You say, I'll never be successful. I'll never be renowned. I'll never be famous. But you can be faithful. But you can be a witness. You can share your testimony. You can hand out gospel tracts. You can share the Lord Jesus. And God will bless you. I want everyone here, everyone listening by radio, everyone that sees us on social media, I want all of you to be highly rewarded by God. I would love for everyone here, when we get to heaven together in a collective sense, for us to have our arms full of crowns to go carry and lay before the feet of Jesus. Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy. And for us to acknowledge him and to honor him with the produce of our life, living for him, making him a priority in our life. To do that, you first have to give your life to him. I don't believe that any lost person can do a righteous act according to Scripture. Now, they could give $1 million to the church, but if they're lost, it's not an enduring thing. They could feed 1,000 people, but if they're lost, the Scriptures say that the flesh is enmity against God, our natural nature is at war with God, and that he says our righteousness to God is like filthy rags. So if our righteousness apart from Christ is filthy rags, what hope is there? But in Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, everything we do can be rewarded and be an honor and glory and go before us into eternity. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. I thank you for our dear people. I just want to ask you to bless them, anoint them. I just pray right now. There may be still some who are not truly born again, who do not truly have your Spirit in their life. They're religious. They know a lot about the Bible. They know a lot about our terminology, our songs, our hymns. They know a lot about of all these things, but they don't know you. They don't know you personally. They don't really have a relationship with you. I want to ask you, please, right now, to just speak to hearts and open hearts to truly know you. And I'd like to invite you right now just to say in your heart to the Lord, dear Lord Jesus, you see me as I am. Please forgive me and cleanse me. Please come into my life and take full control of my life. Thank you for your sacrifice for me. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to extend our invitation now and want you to obey God. That's a part of the rewards, is obeying God, whatever he lays on your heart. I've had people ask me, should I do this, Pastor? Should I do that? And I'll say, you do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Don't do anything less. You do what Jesus tells you to do. Let's stand together and sing, and you come. Be seated for just a moment. I want to rehearse a couple of things with you real quick. I want to remind our deacons, we're meeting in the prayer room for prayer immediately following the service, if you can make your way over. And then also want to remind you that next Saturday is our rummage sale. And if you'd like a table and like to be a part of that, contact our office. Come by this week. I remind you also that we don't have any events this Wednesday night for spring break. And then also want to remind you about these commitment cards in the lobby. If you want to give and help us, it'd be great for us to bump it over $200,000 in giving this week. Even $180,000 will double what we already had. I think $185,000 is what it says in the sale. And so if you'd like to help us and be a part of that, just grab one of those cards and envelope in the lobby and pray over it and be a part of that with us as well. And then I want to remind our seniors about the Tuesday St. Patrick's Day luncheon, and we'll have a great time of fellowship together with that. And so I want to encourage you to come. Wear green or you'll get pinched a lot. You know, there'll be a lot of pinching. And so wear your green. Love you. A privilege to be your pastor. God bless you. You're dismissed.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church, in our school, and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And your faithful deacon, who's been a blessing to me, he's going to come say a quick word. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'll try and be quick because ordinarily we're trying to beat the Presbyterians to Sonny's, but wanted to remind everybody that we don't need to rush off because of the spaghetti dinner luncheon. Again, don't mean to belabor a point. I know that Rebecca spoke of this, and we mentioned it briefly last week, but I wanted to brag on Rebecca for a second. We don't have a youth pastor, a permanent one. She's standing in the gap. She stepped up and did this and stuff, and so we're having a luncheon and a cake auction at this luncheon, and if you can't make it to the cake auction, Alan or I could be trusted with your funds, and we could bid on your bid on cakes for you if you like. And I joke about that, but it really does bless my heart when I think of what Rebecca's doing and what Pastor Lefwich is doing, sharing inspired messages last week and today. Thank you again, Pastor. We appreciate you. Very much looking forward to Pastor Harvey Webb next week. Again, standing in the gap while Pastor's gone. In football, we refer to that as next man up. And that's what we've got here, and I'm thankful for that, at least, anyway. So, spaghetti, luncheon, and cake auction. And then there was a little confusion, I think, with the Father's Day All-Star or All-Star Baseball Game event. It's the 15th. We can sign up for it after church. I'll be up there. It's $8 for kids, $10 for adults. Again, a sweet time of fellowship. Again, what Pastor Lefwich mentioned about, you know, being in the moment and leaving by a testimony of what you've done. And we're only here for a moment. It's true. Take advantage of opportunities to gather and esteem our fathers and our grandfathers and, you know, be an example to our kids. Let's pray and then we'll go. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Father, we pray, too, for divine appointments that while it's summertime and the living's easy and we kind of throttle back, help us to remain diligent in sharing the saving grace and your truth and your word everywhere we go. Father, we love you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
So you're pregnant and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. Tune in for Born to Win with Ronald L. Dart right here on WCNO 89.9 FM every Sunday morning at 7. And we'll talk about whether you were born to lose or born to win. And visit us online at borntowin.net.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.